Football! What a week of NFL football. This is NFL Australia. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer, sometimes, I guess, for whomever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, sweating like a priest near a preschool. On the other side of this here iPad, he is a bloke currently processing that he might be the kiss of death to even his bandwagon team. He is the world's biggest heartbroken Aaron Rodgers apologist, Packers fan, Eagles fan, whatever you want to call him, and sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz,
mate,
what's going on?
I don't know how I got tarred with this brush. I went for the Packers one fucking week against the Vikings, and now all of a sudden I've got like 12 tattoos and shit, like, according to you. What the fuck's going on? Anyway, mate, I've just come back from a sweaty couple of days covered in dirt and grime from hanging out with kids at a camping ground, but I still managed to escape for long enough to watch a fucking ridiculous weekend of playoff games. So while everyone else is hanging out in the pool, I'm watching last minute field goals and fucking ridiculous gameplay.
As long as it was sanctioned hanging out with kids in like a bunch of dirt and stuff like that, and you were known to the parents of those kids.
Oh, yeah. I got waivers and consent forms beforehand.
Good stuff. All right, well, we're here to wrap up probably the most entertaining weekend of football that I can remember, the Super Divisional Round weekend. I'll wrap it up as best we can, a.k.a. a day late and with about 8 beers in us. We're going to wrap up everything from last week and set you up for the championship round. All in one dumb, increasingly drunken NFL Australia package. Oh, jeez. It's only going to get better from here. It's episode 45 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Is this what I came here for? When it's grim, go be the Grim Reaper. Oh, hey. I'm the coolest MF-er in the world, Andy Reid. And you're listening to NFL Australia. Ah, Gaz, what a weekend! How good was that? I mean, it's weird that it's now Wednesday and we're covering this. Usually we do the show Tuesdays, but you've been away as you talked about. But that was...
And we thought, let's do it on a drunken public holiday, because what else could... Why would we not do this?
Just makes sense. What else are we going to do? But that was probably the most fun weekend of games I've seen, just from start to finish, all four delivered, right? There wasn't a dud amongst them. It was great. So do you want to do the random thoughts first? Do you want to do your coaching updates first? What are you feeling? What do you want to do?
Oh, let's run through the random thoughts, because obviously there's a couple of things that have happened this week that affects the coaching search for another number of those teams.
Damn straight. All right, so random thoughts from one week of just insane football. Woo! That's about it. Like, woo! I got to the end of Monday's game just like... Shit, like, wrung out. Like, if I'd have been wearing, like, an Apple Watch or something, it would have gone, Jimmy, your heart rate. Did you just go for, like, the longest run of your fucking life, you fat bastard? I'd be like, to be honest, maybe. But either way, all four games finished and were decided by the final play, Gaz. All four of them. We had three game-winning field goals as time expired, the most ever, and we had a walk-off touchdown in OT. Insane vibes. Turns out, special teams matter. Just one thing right there. Special teams do matter. Also, it matters, I think, if you've got one of the two greatest, QBs either of all time or up and coming. The Titans, they tightened up and they got bengaled. That's what the Bengals will do to you. The Niners, they sent Aaron Rodgers off into the sunset, maybe, question mark. But the Niners, we called it. The bug team, the team that no one could get a handle on. Boom, off they go. Matt Stafford out-dueled Tom Brady. Not a sentence I thought I'd be uttering. To be fair, though, Tom Brady basically out-dueled him, and then they fucked it at the end with Matt Stafford dropping some bombs everywhere. Pretty crazy stuff. We got a Bills-Chiefs classic. It was just amazing. And the cool part is no one's talked about the overtime rules, Gaz. Like, nobody.
No, I haven't heard anyone. It hasn't been mentioned.
Not a peep. I mean, I'll tell you what, great week for the play better defense, and defense is part of the game too crew. Big, big week ahead for those dudes. Dak apologized, if you remember that from last week. Remember the Cowboys? Yeah, they were a team.
Yeah. Is that a $50,000 final? Do that, won't it?
Yeah, Sean Payton's walking away. What? Holy shit, Sean Payton, 16 years in charge of the New Orleans Saints. He's like, I'm good. Need a break.
Do another rebuild. I'm good. I'm done with this.
He could have also just pulled off another bounty gate and got himself another year of holiday. Yeah, but either way, the craziest part is, I think we come down to the end of this week. This is the first time in 12 years we've got a championship game weekend without either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, which is ridiculous. Fucking gnarly. So everybody's sitting around going, was that Aaron Suki Lala Rodgers' last game for the Pack? And was that Tom Brady's final game? We don't know yet. Aaron Rodgers is going like, well, we'll see how we go. I'll probably make a decision before they have to do any franchise tag stuff. We'll talk about this all again later in year Nas and stuff. And Tom Brady is also kind of like, well, it all depends on what my family reckon, a.k.a., I don't know, I'll get bored in 2 days' time, spend some time with the family, go, fuck this, I'm playing football for one more year. Anyway, you got some coaching updates there, Gaz?
Yeah, look, I just thought it's that special time of the year where everything that we see is someone's going to be a front runner today and then out of the race tomorrow, but we'll try and wrap up some of the headlines that we're seeing at the moment. Can't go through every team and everyone who's being coached because a lot of or being interviewed because a lot of it's going around between all of the teams. But by the time this comes out, it's this close that apparently the Jags are going to hire Byron Leftwich. Now, there's some sort of poetry to that with the fact that Leftwich began his career at Jacksonville. So coming full circle for his first head coaching role would be great. Broncos reportedly have told people that they are, you know, thanks, but no thanks, mate. Maybe try again next year. And it's down to three. It's down to Dan Quinn, the Rams, Kevin O'Connell, and the Packs, OC Hackett. Now, considering that the Broncos have cap space and a need for quarterback, and Devontae Adams is shitty with how the Pack have treated Rodgers, might not be about a marriage in Denver. Look, at Texans, strangely fucking enough, happy to answer this one offline without going too deep into it, but Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles' defensive coordinator, is reportedly the front runner, which is weird if you watch the Eagles' defense against any good quarterback this year. But apparently, look, he's interviewed really well and he's actually up for a couple of coaching roles. Getting a good DC and someone who's good on offense, and maybe he's that people's coach. Vikings, quite a few, including D'Amico, Ryans, Quinn, Gannon, but searching for their GM in place to put in place, which apparently is done. Well, they know who they want now that Chicago have hired theirs. Speaking of Chicago, now they've got their GM, they're getting stuck into the coaching and have been linked to guys like Dougie P taking a year off. Leslie Frazier, Vic Fangio, obviously with their defense-heavy push, are interviewing Colts DC Eberflus and Quinn in the coming days. Giants are also looking hard at DeBol and Frazier and from the Bills, and have reached out to a variety of Miami assistants to see what the real fucking story was behind Flores. Is he a prick? Do we want him? If he was a prick, he'd pretty much fit that Giants organization. So who knows? Could swing either way.
Love it. Wow. That's basically comprehensive. I don't mind that. Jesus. It's like I learned
something.
There's
a bit going on.
All right. Let's talk about the four games from the weekend in the game wraps. We're going to do these, I reckon, from first to last. That sound all right? So
sure.
All right, Bengals 19 at your Tennessee Titans 16. Oh, geez. So the one big thing we had going into this one, Derrick Henry was back. You got AJ Brown. You got Julio. Can Tennessee live up to the number one seed billing, or do the Bengals keep rolling? The answer to that question from last week was the Bengals keep fucking rolling. To be honest, that is the one big thing. Can Tennessee live up to the one seed? No. Because they never do. That's kind of the thing that they do. They get a one seed, they lose. Seriously, Titans, though, what are you doing? Like an interception on the very first play of the game from there. I think that was one of those moments, though, literally the very first moment of the game. Talk about getting a settler, Gaz. It's a settler, right? You get an INT. It's like, we're fucking on here. And the Bengals rolled from there, looked like they were never afraid of the moment. Like the moment wasn't too big. And they just got into a groove. It was field goals are plenty. That's fine. But every time they had like even a slight problem going on, Jamar Chase was out there crushing it. And they kind of just held their nerve, if that makes sense. And There were so many weird fucky plays in this game, right? Like you had INTs everywhere. You had the hooker interception that hit the fucking ground where I feel like everyone's on crazy pills. Oh, well, he established like possession and then it hit the ground. It's like he had it for a fucking poofedth of a second. How is that establishing possession where it's like you get a catch, then you got to take two steps and make a football move? How is this any different, Gaz, to a catch that's normal? Anyway, can you tell I was getting angry during that game? Just doing some yells. Anyway, that leads to like a mega touchdown for AJ Brown, which was one-handed. One of the most amazing throws, catches, touchdowns you'll see. It was so well thrown by Tannehill that it looked like it basically hit AJ Brown and got stuck in between his arm and his body. It's like Tannehill meant to do it that way. It was
backwards,
insane.
Into the end zone, yeah.
And it's like between two dudes into the. It was crazy. Loved it. This is the thing though. The Titans should have fucking won it. They sacked Joey B 9 times, and there were two hits that were on plays that were blown dead. He got fucking basically sacked on two of those as well, but. It sort of comes down to the vibe of like, it all turned on its head right at the end because Tannehill, there's like another interception. He might not be that guy, Gaz. I've got a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah.
But a couple of interceptions that were tipped, three INTs all in all. Derrick Henry definitely looked like a bloke who had just had a metal plate put in his fucking foot with a bunch of screws like two months ago. AJ Brown somehow had like a pretty good game, but you sort of watch this sort of stuff and go, he's a monster. If Derrick Henry, like Foreman was running all over the joint, Herrick trailed off in the second half. Like poor Henry is just like, he gave, you know, a stiff arm and he's sort of hitting the edge and you're like, oh, he's not as quick as he usually is. That's a bit fucked. Give it to Foreman. Or, I don't know, use AJ Brown like a bit weird and funky. I kind of feel like in terms of like the coaching of this, you kind of come down and go, Vrabel kind of bottled it a little bit. Anyway, so it comes down to a, like an insane interception at the end by Logan Wilson, pops up in the air, 20 seconds left. All Tannehill basically has to do in that sort of stretch of time is just not throw an interception. Boom, interception. But Joey B, old Joey Burrow, still has to come up with a big play here, guys. What's he have to do? He has to get it within field goal range. He goes, right. What's my best way of... Oh, I'll just throw it to Jamar Chase. The best after the fucking catch yard getter in the NFL, basically. And somehow he's like slightly open, gets the first down, gets him within field goal range, and they run two little runs for basically to keep the clock running, run it down, set up McPherson for the win. Time runs out. 52-yard bomb from McPherson. Boom. Game winner. It was massive. It was insane. The Titans just shit the bed. They shit all over themselves. The Bengals were right there to take advantage of it. Even though there were times where like, what is happening? It feels like that interception where it's hit the ground from Hooker, though. That felt like it's like the league going, yeah, we're not going to let Cincinnati win. So if you could just make sure that is definitely an interception and we'll get Tennessee rolling. Off we go. And that's how it felt like, right? Like it was crazy. But I don't know, Gaz, what were your impressions of this game? Like, it was insane, I thought. I fucking loved it. It was insane. I'm stoked that Cincinnati got through because
yeah.
They're like, amazing. It's so much fucking fun. But
definitely on the foot of McPherson, right? It was one of those ones I thought, oh, here we go. The Bengals seem to be in control, and I'm like, oh, this isn't playing in the Titans' hands because they want to grind it out with Dezza in the second half. And you're not wanting to want to be doing that from behind. And then that AJ Brown catch, and I'm like, oh, fucking, here we go. Just don't, you know, if you're coming back from your first, you know, what is it, early in both halves, the Tannehill interceptions. I'm like, mate, even besides that, and then you're just looking at Burrow just copping it. Right, is it the stat, the only two quarterbacks of all time to win a playoff game with 8 or more sacks are him and Donovan McNabb playing for Andy Reid in the early 2000s.
Of course you've got that stat just on your fucking fingertips.
Of course I fucking
do. Either way, look, it was just cool. Like, the Bengals were just like up for it, which we weren't sure it was going to happen. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, you don't want to celebrate your Super Bowl in the first week of the playoffs, right? You get your win. They're just like, fucking losing their mind. They're delivering game balls around to all the bars in Cincinnati. It's fucking chaos. And then they backed it up against the one seed the road. It was awesome. Yep. Anyway, so the second game that day, though, what else did you have?
Well, fuck me. San Francisco 49ers going into Lambeau. 13-10. Not the scoreline I expected, but it was fucking cold. Look, one big thing from last week that we had, our San Fran, the worst matchup for Green Bay. And can their unpredictable offense mess with the Green Bay defense? Or do Rodgers and co, after a week off, steamroll them? Well, the short answer is the Niners are a fucking problem. And they're a fucking problem this week. And they're going to be a fucking problem to the team next week. The Packers offense, this was like, I don't know that I've ever seen an offense so limited to two specific players. But like the passing game, Adams and Jones totaled 219 of Rodgers' 225 passing yards. It was one catch for 6 yards to, I think it was Adam Lazard. But outside that, Valdez-Scantling didn't play. That obviously hurt. But still, 219 of 225. On the other side, Jimmy G didn't set the fucking world on fire. He was 11 of 19, 131 yards, with a horrible pick into coverage from like 10 yards out into single go. It was fucking gross, and because they had points on the board then.
Yep.
But it really was the story of the D and special teams that got the Niners there. So the two sequences of the special teams go through. One, just before halftime, Jimmy G's thrown that pick. Rodgers got that on the, let's call it the 15, 20-yard line. Gets a 75-yard wheel route to Adam Jones down the sideline. It was just, how the fuck he was that wide open just before halftime, right? Gets it down with 16 seconds to go. The Niners then force a Rodgers fumble that the Packers still recover. Gets up really quickly, spikes the ball, gets it. No worries. Field goal with 4 seconds to go. The Niners blocked the field goal attempt from like 20 yards out. Amazing. The fact that they kept them to no points on that. Then the very next play after halftime, they've sent Debo back to return it. And he takes the ball out for 50 yards. Anyway, both D-lines were working really well. They sacked Rodgers 5 times and another 6 hits while the Packers had 4 and 7 hits. That was keeping the guys on their toes. The Packers should have fucking won the game, though. Like, this is without a doubt. It's not even close. So with 6 minutes to go, they had a big 4th-and-1 stop on the Niners when the Niners were in field goal territory.
Yep.
And at that stage, they've only scored 3 points for the game. Just fucking run it out the last 6 minutes. The D steps up and had another big 3 and out. But then it was the big game one, tying play. And that is the fucking Niners special teams blocked a punt from, 15 yards out and ran it straight in the end zone to tie it up.
Where nobody knew where the ball had fucking gone either, which was
just
hilarious.
Everyone standing around like looking, just scratching their nuts, thinking the play's dead. And then another big stop from the D, and the Niners moved straight down the field with every dose of, Kittle over the middle, Debo running through just like a bowling ball, into field goal range, game set up, see you later. Walk off you fucking go, Aaron.
So there's a great moment with the Debo, just Debo running through MFers right there at the end of that one. Because it was like the opposite of what had happened earlier with the Titans, where they're like, well, we're 3rd-and-1. We do have Derrick Henry. What we might do instead is have Tannehill in the shotgun and try to run him for a yard out of fucking nowhere. And he tries to do one dodge one way. The defender just goes, what are you doing? And they just fucking tackles him, right? They then go for it on 4th-and-1. This is where they're basically losing the game from here. And Henry can't get loose and goes down. They turn the ball over on downs. And that's when you're like, oh, Henry's not right. Also, what the fuck was that horrible play call from the Titans? Yeah. Vrabel, what the shit? And then the craziest part was Debo basically has like a similar play in this one and it works for the run for like, 9, 10, 11 yards or something.
Yeah.
He just sort of slips a couple of tackles. He dodges one way, comes back the other, gets through the middle, which was fucking bonkers. And that sets up the field goal. Like, it's it's 100% like sliding doors. Through one door, you've got Ryan Tannehill trying to do that. On the other one, you've got fucking Debo Samuel. Which one do you think is going to work, Gaz? I think It might have been Debo.
Definitely. Yeah, it was crazy. And that defense obviously can step up against the Rams, but it's just the difference that the Packers, yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like, anyway, move on to the next game, right?
Well, because, I think you hit the point, though, right? They should have won this, the Packers. Like,
yeah.
10 points. You got the fucking MVP. He was forcing it to Devontae Adams way too often, obviously.
Yeah.
There was, like, the famous shit where, like, in the last couple of plays, they had the ball 4 minutes left. Like,
yes.
You win the game from there if you're the fucking MVP, right?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
And there's, like, plenty of photos, like, Lazard standing, like, wide open by himself and, like, Aaron Rodgers is throwing it to Devontae Adams, like, triple covered and all this sort of crazy shit. You're like, yeah, guess what, Aaron? That's not ideal. Like, you're forcing it.
Nah.
This is weird. Stop being weird. Why are you so weird? Anyway, there's going to be a lot more Green Bay shitting on later, so... Anyway.
Oh, yeah, and the special teams need to, like, well, you know, the photos came out very fucking quickly of that the field goal kick with the Packers only having 10 men on the field and things like that. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, Robbie Gould, though, has the, what's that, the Chicago Bears revenge, basically, on some Packers, right, from Robbie Gould and, like, just a bunch, like, he's basically an honorary Bear for life now, I think, Robbie Gould, just to knock out the Packers out, which I enjoyed.
Packers out.
Bears fans in my life are losing their mind about that. So that was pretty near.
Nice one. Next one. Rams, 30, Bucks, 27. One big thing. Tampa Bay just loves beating the Bucks.
Being the Rams.
Do they have enough?
They are the Bucks.
Being the Rams. Sorry, Tampa Bay. I can't read. I'm having issues on my holidays. Beating the Rams. Do they have enough to even with their injuries? Or does the Ram D ruin the Bucks and Stafford give them enough O to make another championship game? Well, Brady didn't have enough. Quite simple. He was an epic comeback. He fucking left it all out on the field, but it just wasn't enough. To be fair, though, the Rams found every fucking which way to try and give them the game in the second half, and I'll get to that in a second. Look, Stafford did good things, good Stafford things, without the bad Stafford things that have been, you know, the killer interceptions. He put up 4 touchdowns but have 2 interceptions in games this week. And he managed, like, to keep a clean game, finished with 366 yards and 2 TDs. Kupp was out there doing ridiculous Cooper Kupp kid things. I was like, fucking hell. Like, this guy was out of control. So, 183 yards and a touchdown. And at times, I was just standing there going, have the Bucks realized that this guy is the reception leader in the league? Because I'm pretty sure I stand and saw him just, like, over the top of the defense, taking the cap off or, like, standing on his own in the sidelines. This was really at risk of being a blowout. 10-0 at one point before they scored in the end of the first quarter, 20-3 at halftime, and 27-3, which would have had, you know, been close enough to have Falcons fans with PTSD, before the Bucks started the comeback in the second half. Too fun. I have to mention the unsportsmanlike conduct calls in this, because one in the first half was Ndamukong Suh getting called for a taunting penalty after yelling at Matt Stafford, who he thought kicked him in the nuts intentionally. That was great. Think of, like, Ndamukong Suh yelling at someone.
Sweet irony.
See, I know, right? considering their old teammates as well. And the other one was Brady getting his first unsportsmanlike conduct of his career, ironically, for screaming at the refs 4 days after saying that he gets away with trash talking to the refs more than probably other people. Do you reckon you set yourself up for that one, Tom? Just maybe? Maybe?
He did also get wanged in the fucking head. And they're like, yo.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't deserve to be a little bit upset. I'm just saying, if you've got away with something for your whole career, maybe in the locker room say, guess what, boys? I've got a trick here. Maybe don't say it in the media. Anyway, not a good game for the Bucks kicker. Well, we're having some good kicking games. Ryan Sucker had he not only missed a field goal in the first half, but had 2 kicks go out of bounds on the sideline, 2 kickoffs. So it obviously gave the Rams 3 yards at the 40 for both of those play. But the Rams couldn't put this away. There was a big fumble by Cooper. I'm just running through this series of unfortunate events. Big fumble by Cup with the score at 27-6 to give the Bucks the ball and great field position, punched in by playoff Lenny. After then a massive botch snap that went over Stafford's head by about 20 fucking yards, and the Bucks recovered. Now they got a three and out after that, but no points came of it. Then missed field goal by Matt Gay, who was short from 47 yards, Jimmy. Short.
It was.
I was watching. I watched that kick, and I'm like, "Oh, that's on target. That's lay down was there. Yeah, it's in."
Nope.
And then they went, "Nah, short." Went, sorry, what? Anyway, then the D let Evans, like, just fuck it, Evans over the top, like walk in bomb from Brady. Then the Akers fumble that gives the ball back to Brady, and then 2 minutes to go. In the playoff game, Lenny, round the outside, scores with 46 seconds to go, evens the scores. This is the Super Bowl all over again. We've tied it up. Stafford with 42 seconds to go. Who in that world, Jimmy, are you covering with Matt Stafford with 46 seconds to go? Cooper Kupp got two massive plays, including the bomb that gave that with 16 seconds to go. One of the most hectic hustles down the field that I've ever seen to give him the ball, to get everyone set, to spike the ball with 4 seconds to go. And Matt Gay doesn't miss this one. The positive side on this, as an Eagles fan, is I get to watch the Cowboys fans lose their fucking mind about how the umpire spotted the ball for the Rams to get that spike down in time. They've melted down online, Jimmy, for a second week in a row. It's fucking great. Anyway, so yeah, fucking epic start to the game. Brady woke up after halftime. The Rams fucking tried everything to give it away, but then managed to just seal it in the end.
So from 27-3 to 27-all, like,
yeah,
it's just flashbacks for the Super Bowl, right? Like Falcons, 100%. Pats.
I was sitting
Brady
there with a Falcons fan.
He's doing
and
he
was like, this can't fucking happen, dude.
Acres fumble, though, was probably the funniest, just like, are you fucking serious moment of the season,
almost
right?
Almost on script. It was almost on script. Where you're just like, someone's got to cough this up here.
I think I was messaging with buddies of mine. It's like, I think Goodell just hit the make him fumble button on his controller. Like, it was fucking crazy. So
yep.
There was just like a series of unfortunate, ill-advised, hilarious events that got it to 27 each. And then Stafford just put his giant set of nuts on the table and went, actually, no, these are pretty big. Boom, there you go. What do you reckon? But the fact that the Bucks defense is like, oh, no, what we should do is we shouldn't, well, we'll try and blitz a little bit maybe. It's, what are you doing, you morons? Like, how do you fucking let Cooper Kupp go
free? Was over the
twice.
Top of that defense.
Twice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The one down the sideline, I kind of get because they were protecting the sidelines, trying to keep me bound. That was like, I got that one. But that bomb over the top, like, two shell safety help over the top. Whatever you do, don't let him get in the field goal range. Exactly what Cooper Kupp did. Like, just snuck in behind that defense. You're like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, there you go.
The cool thing is, I mean, that was the end of all the fun games, wasn't it? Oh, wait. No, it wasn't. Because then we had...
I see what you did there, Jimmy.
Chiefs 42, Bills 36 in probably the second most entertaining game I've watched in the last decade, first being obviously the aforementioned Falcons-Pats Super Bowl.
And even that was only half a fun game for you.
To be honest, second half. I was a sad pander in the first half. There's like just vibes from that. Like, I just like went, fuck it, I'm going to go cook the tachos, whatever. And sat there, ate some tachos at halftime. And then it just got fucking epic. But this was, to be fair, this was like one of those... The hilarious thing is we did have in the one big thing last week, the one big question is, will this be the greatest game ever? It came very fucking close, Gaz.
Fucking ridiculous.
But also it was about Josh Allen Bills team rocks up. Can KC's offense pressure that Bills D enough that it all falls apart? Kind of yes, 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 and yes. Like,
yeah.
Apart from the fact that the correct Bills team rocked up, the offense was perfect for KC. More perfect than the perfect Bills offense, which is just insane. Like, both QBs played absolutely fucking perfect. So the craziest part about this is that early on, you're like, oh my God, Buffalo, what are they doing? Oh, they're punting. Right, sure. I remember when they used to do that. Fucking hell. Because I didn't do it against my team. But either way, this was a great back and forth.
Patriots fan.
I'm not even angry. Like this was like this Bills team is, I just love Josh Allen, you know.
Yeah.
But great back and forth all game. And then it just got insane. Like just insane. They were trading touchdowns late in the third. You get that McCole Hardman where he just fucking puts on the jets and goes past everybody. It was incredible. And then
that was the worst coverage. I sat there with like the mate I was watching it with, like, left the room for 2 minutes and came back and went, you just got to see the worst defense I've seen all game, all weekend. Because he literally was like, it was like all defenders just went, oh, you've got him. And Hardman's just him. All they thought he was going to step out. Yeah. And he's just cut back inside and went straight through them and just fucking see you later.
That happened a couple of times, I feel like, in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, right, where it's like, you're tackling, but you're not tackling. What are you idiots doing? Just tackle the fucking guy.
Finish it. Finish the play.
The craziest part was after the McCole Hardman one, it was like the first play of the next drive was a fucking 75-yard bomb from Allen to Gabriel Davis. Like it was perfect. It was beautiful. It was amazing. But of course, all of this just basically culminates the fourth quarter where there's like a game-winning drive, inverted commas, game-winning. Like Josh Allen just keeps keeping this drive alive, then finds a wide open Gabriel Davis for his fourth touchdown, gets the scrambling 2-point conversion. There's less than 2 minutes to go. It's just, I mean, the entire, like, Davis had 4 touchdowns. He gets this one before that. But there's basically just chaos for the last 2 minutes. We have 18 points in the last 1 minute 13 seconds of regulation, 25 points in the last, basically after the 2 minute warning, which is just absolutely fucking crazy. Fucking ridiculous. So obviously after the Bills get up, there's 13 seconds left. Do you squib kick, Gaz? You squib kick. What are you doing? You squib kick. If you don't squib kick, you're a fucking idiot. But here we go. 13 seconds left there, protecting the sidelines of the Bills, going, nah, we're good. Mahomes gets him to field goal range because he's a fucking, like, warlock. 13 seconds. Pat Mahomes goes, 40 yards, and gets him into field goal range. Bang. Butker ties up the game. We're going to overtime. The Chiefs win the coin toss. The Bills don't touch the ball again. Kelce touchdown. Insane touchdown by Kelce. I feel like that's the one thing lost in this insane game, right? Like, play after play after play after play is just incredible. And, like, the actual game-winning touchdown in overtime is kind of overlooked, which is crazy because it was fucking awesome. So Mahomes throws for 177 yards after the two-minute warning in this game, Gaz, which is just insane. But, of course, the best part about this is, and, of course, you're going to love it, is that the dunking on Cowboys fans continues apace where in 13 seconds they go the length of the field and kick a field goal in less time than it took for Dak Prescott's fucking stupid QB draw that ended their season. Yes. So here we are, dunking on Cowboys fans again. You love to see it. But that's it. This is the 13 seconds game. It's the game where you had 13 seconds to get it down the length of the field, kick the field goal, go to overtime. They win the coin toss, which is bullshit, I feel, because Josh Allen did the right thing. He called tails. Tails never fails. The fact that he didn't call, if he called heads and it had come up tails, I'd be punking him. He went tails. That's fine. The overtime rules are the overtime rules at the moment. The sweet irony is that KC are the beneficiaries of it this time. They were losers last time where Tom Brady drove on them, 3 years ago, and they didn't touch the ball. And everyone was like, how the fuck could Pat Mahomes not touch the ball in overtime? It's a travesty. And they petitioned the league to change the rules. And it turns out they don't change the rules. This time they don't give the Bills the ball and they win. Yep. And it's pretty gnarly. But this insane game just had so many different moments of what the fuck. Oh my God, what the fuck. No, seriously, what the fuck. That it's just, it's so hard to encapsulate how much fun it was to watch it. Like, I could probably just keep yelling incoherently about how fun this game was. But Like, we go into the fourth quarter. I think it's 21-23. So that's still the under as well. And it ends up smashing the over by about 30 points, which is insane. But you've got the Butker field goal, you have the Gabriel Davis one for the game-winning touchdown to go at 29-26 was just fucking crazy. KC then score again with Tyreek Hill on the massive, just huge, awesome throw. Then we get another game-winning drive from Josh Allen with that Gabriel Davis touchdown again. They go up 36-33. Then you have the 13 seconds left. It's just that fourth quarter and that overtime were absolute fucking chaos. And I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I get it. It was absolutely fucking amazing. On the point that has flicked around all of the chats and all those sort of things this week about the squib and whether you do the squib. When do you do the squib? Anyone who's played Madden loves getting giving the ball back at the last couple of seconds and doing a bit of a squib. But the problem is, it's threefold. One is, if you kick it out the back of the end zone, at least you know they're starting at 25 when you've got Tyreek Hill receiving it. If you can get the squib, then two, let's say, a lineman in coverage or just one of the someone playing coverage, well, then you know you're probably going to be able to stop them. You know, they're not going to get an epic run back. But even if they do, you've still got the chance of them getting the ball at the 40 and they've eroded, say, 5 or 6 seconds. You're still giving Patrick Mahomes 7 seconds for one play to get out of bounds with Tyreek Hill. You think if you can give him the 25, you think you're going to be safe, right? Because you don't think they're going to get within field goal range within 13 seconds. But clearly, this is the one that's... This is the exception to the fucking rule because it's Patrick Mahomes and you've got Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And yeah, that's the thing. I still watch this game, this Chiefs game, and still think to myself, like, as much as you can see Cheetah over the years, it still boggles my mind just his just pure change of direction. Like, as soon as you're a defender and you think, oh, yeah, we got him corralled, all of a sudden he jumps backwards and sideways 3 steps and he's got an extra 15 yards. Like, this guy's fucking out of control. But I got to admit, this is one of the first games of the year where it's like, I was kind of hoping it ended because I was on holidays and we started drinking beer from real early in the morning. I'm not going to lie, I needed to go to the bathroom, Jim, but I was not moving away from that TV. It was fucking epic.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it just... You know, obviously in trance like everybody else, just it was, as I said, chaos and it was awesome. And that's always like if you ever listen to NBA Australia, all I ever want is chaos. Just give me the fucking chaos. And when it's 25 points in like no fucking time in an NFL game, that's chaos. And it's awesome because it's literally the two best quarterbacks probably right now. If they're at the top of their game, like, they're two of the three best QBs in the league, right? And they're just going literally hammer and tongs.
Shot.
Up and back, and it was fucking awesome. Like, the Mahomes throw where it's basically like a meter above the fucking ground all the way to Tyreek Hill for the entire throw as Mahomes is basically falling over. That shit's insane. But that last drive, the 13 seconds, like, I still just can't get over the fact that it gets it to Hill, then gets it to Kelce, gets it to field goal range. And yeah, I mean, if you squib kick though, I mean, you're probably going to kill like 4 more seconds. You probably get rid of one of these plays. So I kind of feel like it's the safer vibe because if it gets under 10 seconds, it just makes the math that much fucking harder, right? To sort of get 2 plays or at least get in range and get out of bounds with enough time to still set up the field goal. So
the theory is that usually, and this is where probably something that Mike McCarthy should learn about, but they usually say that like your average intermediate pass takes 6 seconds, right? So if you're with those maths from the 25 yards, that's not counting the need to get up and spike. The big difference here, obviously, without, you know, giving any credit to the Cowboys, but the three timeouts that the Chiefs had was all the difference maker, right? 100%. Because they could afford to go down the middle and not have to worry about getting up to spike the ball. But anyway, just glad that I got to witness that game, whether I was away or not. Got to, the missus didn't chew me out too hard for going, I'm going to spend the entire 2 days of our holidays, watch morning till, you know, 1, 2 o'clock, I'll see you after lunch.
The answer to this is always like, look, there's always the third week of February until September. Like that.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
That's all you, homie. Like, that's all you. But not right now.
Well, she did
not
say
right
to
now.
Me, yeah, she did say to me, so after Feb 14, that means I have to deal with you every Tuesday night for 6 months. Like, yeah, well, what else are you going to do to, you know, this is what we do in winter, right? Turn to the AFL until there's time for two more NFL. Anyway, Jimmy, that's how I build my relationships.
It's like she gets you back on Tuesdays, but she loses you Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Exactly, right?
Dunskies.
Exactly.
It's a good trade-off. All right, so with all that, those four games done, it leaves us with three games left this season, which is crazy to think about. We've got title games, championship games next week. The AFC title game, obviously Bengals, Chiefs, NFC, Niners, Rams. It's pretty gnarly. And we're going to talk about it all with some yeah nahs and the previews, the good bloke of the weeks, right after this. All right, Gaz. Yeah nahs and a bunch of the rest of the show. Tell you what. Brought to you by Imagine Manscaped. That's right. It's almost February. And that means, oh, geez, Valentine's Day. Oh, God. Gonna need to make up for it extra this year because that's where the Super Bowl is. I'm just saying. Either way, our mates at Manscaped are working harder than Cupid, I reckon, to make sure that your Valentine's Day is one to remember. So don't turn this day of romance into Independence Day with aliens blowing up your monument. And get in control with their Performance Package 4.0 that includes their signature and our beloved lawnmower 4.0. Oh, my God, that's a good lawnmower. So join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code STRAY, get 20% off and free shipping. And I'll tell you what, contrary to popular belief, love is not blind when you can't see past the love jungle. Jesus. Tell you what. Either way, it's Valentine's Day. We spend our year disappointing our partners. That's what we do. Sitting there, drinking beers, talking shit with our mates all the time. And they're just like, oh God, this guy. But then, when they see their initials carved into your pubes, boom, all is forgiven. So get right around it with the Performance Package 4.0. Because look, if you sort this out, you'll end up with more dating app notifications than Cupid has arrows. You'll just be like, swiping left, swiping right. It'll be all over. Everyone's be swiping. And you can use the lawnmower to basically trim it up. I'll tell you what, the trim is the best because it's got the advanced skin-safe technology, this trimmer. It reduces everything, cuts, nicks, everything. You're laughing. It's no bloody nicks. It's what we're about here in this household as well. It's got the spotlight. It's got everything. Bit waterproof. It's what it's all about. The cool part is it comes with the weed whacker as well. It is the performance package. That's for your nose and your ears. And you've got what else? All the great stuff. You've got the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. The Ball Toner, Gaz. It's the best. Damn. I love the Crop Preserver as well. Oh, it's everything you need in a performance package.
I could have used some of that. I forgot to take it away with me, Jimmy, this weekend. And I could have used some of that in that brutal heat of the campsite.
Tough scenes. Tough scenes in that cabin. But either way, look, it's what it's all about. You got a shed that keeps all your stuff together there as well. The travel case. Look, Manscaped has basically got you, everybody you know, covered this Valentine's Day. So sort that out with a gift that you and your date will both appreciate. You can't buy love, but you can buy a clean pair of balls. Simple as that. So 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYA. Help tame that love jungle you have in your pants with Manscaped. All right, guys, let's do some yeah nahs. So the last couple of weeks, we've gone with the losers and winners, I guess, for some yeah nahs, specific team-specific stuff. Because, I mean, at this time of the year, we're going to go team-specific, obviously. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, throughout the season, it's very easy with yeah nahs to get a bit macro, to look at trends, to look at things. This is very specific. So the AFC losers, the NFC losers, the AFC winners, the NFC winners. Let's do it. I'll cover the AFC losers and winners. You can do the NFC losers and winners. You can ask me the AFC questions. I'll ask you the NFC questions. How good's this?
Let's go with it.
Let's do it. You can kick it off. Ask me some questions, guys. Go on.
Mate, it's one you've been thinking about for a while. Now you get to answer the question. Were the Titans overrated? Are that team they built around them that good? And you just, they're a one Ryan Tannehill away? What do you reckon?
Yeah, nah. Look, overrated. This is one of those things. I think I came to the end of the sort of season going, this Titans team is good. We understand that. I don't know if they're like they never put the fear of God into me though, if that makes sense. Mm. Like there's not been a point in the season where I've gone, oh, they're just basically unbeatable, are the Titans. Like they did have like insane runs, right? Yeah. Like that was kind of cool, good on them, but everyone was sort of like, yeah, look, the defense is incredible. They had that awesome win over the Chiefs, obviously, right? Like was that like week 6 or 7 or something? They just stymied them and you're like, here we go. And they ripped off a couple of big stretches of winning. When the fuck was that game, Chiefs game? It's like middle of the season either way. Yeah. And you're like, here we go. They're rounding into form. And that's when they sort of ripped off those wins when they beat like the Saints, the Colts, the Bills, and the Rams. You know, like they're beating all the good teams. But I still never really feared them, which is like, because maybe it's because the Pats beat them earlier on in the season as well. So it's just sort of stuck in my brain like that. But
yeah,
as a one seed, I was kind of like, there's nothing imperious about this Titans team. Like, I feel like you looked at the Bills, you looked at the Chiefs, they scared the fuck out of you if you like went, oh, fuck, we got to play them. If you're on the Titans side of the draw, I feel like you're always in with a shot, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I kind of feel
just
like...
look at the, you know, they had the run of, they had the awesome run where they had an amazing schedule, or I guess a scorecard of wins against last year's playoffs teams.
Yeah.
Well, they got knocked out by a team that wasn't in last year's playoffs. So,
checks out. But yeah. It's also like, they're also the team that lost to like the Texans at one point, right? Like, yeah. And they lost to the Steelers early on. I remember that. And it's just like, they lost to the Jets late in the season. It's like that sort of shit. It's like, if that happens, in similar vibes to the Bills. And that's why one big question for the Bills, and we'll get to them in a second as well with the winners, are the losers actually, that there's, when you have losses like that, like that's why there was the one big question in that Chiefs game. It's like, what Bills team is going to rock up? Like, I had a pretty good idea what Chiefs team was going to rock up. I had a pretty good idea what Bengals team was going to rock up. But the Bills, with their weird fucky losses throughout the season, the Titans, the same sort of thing. Yeah, slightly overrated, I thought. Yeah, so there you go. Do you want to take an NFC one here now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's mix them up.
Easy one then. Was that Tom's last game? Yeah, nah.
Easy one. I'll just lay this down. Nah, look, so... I guess for me, all I can go on is the noises he's making at the moment. And the noises are a little bit less about, nah, I'm still hungry, I've got something to go. And it's more about, Giselle fucking hates it when I get fucking hit. And every time I go down, and now it's about, it's my family sacrificed so much for me, for my journey. Now I've got to be the dad and blah, blah. We're going to take some time to discuss it. I don't know. It just kind of has a slightly different vibe from what the way he's addressed it in previous years, where it was more about him and has he got anything left and has he got the fire.
Yeah.
And he had a point to prove, right? And he had that point to prove that he wasn't a system quarterback under, you know, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel. He came out, he proved it. He did his thing. He wanted to come around and go back to back with another team. It didn't work out. Would you go through that again? I mean, the big thing, I've tried to find it for someone else during the week, but there's some awesome graphs out there about upcoming free agency and teams losing numbers of snaps to free agency and then the value of keeping those contracts of those players that are going to be unrestricted free agents. And the Bucks are at the top of both, right? They're going to have a cap problem. They're not going to retain everyone. They bought the players to come in. Is he gonna recognize that and walk away, you know, at the top of his game? Because he's still an MVP consideration, let's say, for this year. And he statistically had one of his best years. Go out on top. See you later. Right off into the sunset.
Yeah, so this is kind of like a combo question as well. Like, was it the Bucks? Like, was it smart of the Bucks to bring everybody back? Where I think when you win a Super Bowl, like, it's a cool story. Oh, we brought everybody back.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, I kind of feel like bringing in different folks who might be hungrier, also playing for different contracts rather than having just got another one, I think that can, like, add a bit of an edge to you as well. It's like, well, I haven't done it, And like, this is a big thing when it comes to basketball, right? NBA, like, complacency can be a bit of a tough one. In football, it's just such a big roster, that's pretty hard anyway. But the fact that they brought literally everybody back, I thought was always kind of good, but at the same time, it does blunt your edge a little bit. Like, we've done it before. We'll just do it again. And then you see them just decimated by injuries time and time again, and they sort of just ran out of horses on offense, really. And the defense at least sort of came back a bit, but you saw it. Like, they get torched by the Rams in the secondary sort of time and time again. And you're like, oh, yeah, bit tough. And then the thing for Tom, I mean, this is going to be, we'll talk about this fucking ad nauseum, of course, in the next month or so.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big question. And I reckon he'll play one more. And whether or not it's with the Bucks.
Because he said he wanted to play to 45,
yeah,
didn't he?
He wants to play to 45. The question is going to be whether it's not with the Bucks. And I think that's going to be fascinating. So,
yeah.
Anyway, you got another one.
I might
AFC
throw in
loser.
That while I'm still on the Tom one, just because we had a couple of ENRs thrown in from Jez, and I might as well mix them up where they're relevant, right? Mate of the show, Jez. He's thrown in one saying, if he had pulled off the comeback, does that change his consideration in the MVP voting? Even though it's a regular season thing, obviously. Yeah, how you're seen as in your last games obviously will have an influence. If he'd come back and done that at 27-3 against the Rams.
After Aaron Rodgers has fucking blown it? Yeah, shit, yeah. That makes a massive difference. But also, like, for Tom to, like, if he did just pull the pin now, like, it might also be him going, to be honest, I'm probably not going to have a better losing game that I could go out on, where I brought our team back all the way, and it's our fucking shitty, dumb D. They let Cooper Kupp run fucking rampant on two giant Stafford fucking bombs that ruined it for me. Whereas I look like a hero again because I basically just recaptured like Super Bowl gold, did the same thing as I did to the Falcons.
Yeah.
And I'm still a gun and I'm 44. That's crazy.
He's also seen his two peers in Breeze and Manning
just fall off a cliff,
and even Rivers just play that extra season too long and end up with a noodle arm that just couldn't, and you're relying on your defense and you're just game managing, and I don't think that that's the way that he wants to go out.
True, but I think he's much more pliable,
of course.
It's all about the pliability.
Yeah, exactly. All right, should we move back to an AFC one? I didn't realize the ENRs, and I kind of have ruined one of your ENRs, but is the Bills cursed, or should they have just squibbed it?
The Bills being cursed does just feel kind of real, right? Like, four straight Super Bowls, they lose. It's just, you can't sort of take a fucking trick. And the weird thing is, like, this felt like their year. If they win the Super Bowl. Like, it's just done. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Because it's like the game for all games. The Chiefs just keep fucking beating them. If they win this, they run off with it. And it does kind of feel like they're a big curse, which sucks because they're one of the most fun fans. Like, the coolest part was the Tennessee Titans lost.
Yeah.
If the Bills win, they're playing at home. That's insane. Just imagine Bills Mafia for a championship game in the year 2022. It would have been chaos. It would have been awesome. I would have loved every second of every table gone through because they're not playing my team. Throw as many dildos on the ground as you want. I don't give a shit. But god damn, they should have squib kicked that last fucking one. Like, that's all I want. I just wanted that squib kick because I think you kill four more seconds, it makes it that much tougher. The maths just work in your favor. Even though you go through the end zone, it's like, oh. And there's always the threat of the run back, but I just think you kill that much more time. Anyway, but like, it feels like they're cursed, doesn't it? Like, it's just Allen. Going up against Mahomes, you just see them going, fuck, man, I got, like, however long my career is going to be, like another 15 years of going against this one dude. Shit. Yep. Ah, we've got like the fucking least scored against defense in the NFL this year, and we still can't beat the guy, and it turns into 25 points after the 2-minute warning in this game. What have I got to do? Shit. He plays the perfect game the week before. Ah, anyway.
I saw a meme just literally just before we jumped on this onto the record this, and it was about the effect of the three wins that the Jags had this year. It was the Jags beat the Colts and they didn't make the playoffs by a game. They beat Miami and they didn't make the playoffs by a game. They beat the Bills and it means that they didn't get the number one seed, and instead of playing the Cincinnati Chiefs at home, they're playing at Arrowhead, and that could have been all the fucking difference, right?
Nice one.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's just one of those. Hopefully they come back. We said this last year, right? I feel like we said this last year that they're going to come back hungrier and they're just going to drive it home and blah, blah. And clearly they did. Like, they tore the shit out of your boys after the first that first loss. But realistically, they've got everything kind of there. Like, even the defense was... was the number one defense in the league, I think, at that scoring defense in the league at the end there, at the end of season stats. Like, they had all of the pieces, but even in that game, it wasn't Diggs. Like, you just kind of expected if anyone's going to go off, it's going to be Diggs. It's not going to be fucking Gabriel Davis ending up with four touchdowns.
200
and he
yards.
Was open. Like, holy some shit. Of them on, like, fourth downs where you're like, oh, all I got to do is protect the first down line. Fucking Allen didn't go first down. He was just like, fuck it. He's open.
Yep.
You know?
Love it.
Man, all right.
The second NFC loser for you, was that Aaron Rodgers' last game for the Packers, Gaz? Make your decision. Yeah, nah.
So, I'm trying to take a step back in the first 24 hours of having lots of knee-jerk reactions to these games, because the conversations we were having last week about all of these guys seems different in the cold light of day after this week. So last week, and I'd say this to a number of people, I was like, Aaron Rodgers has played the media fucking perfectly. He's played the front office and he's got them exactly where they want him. Jordan Love did nothing when he came in this season. And he's just fucking manipulated him to give him everything he wants, and then he'll be back. And then after this game, and the way he's had a hissy, and the way that they're saying the relationship with the front office is severed, which is a pretty decent word, and the fact that you've got someone like Devontae Adams, who is our free agent anyway, and doesn't want to come back if, like, he's not going to want to go through a rebuild, right? Rodgers has said he's not willing to go through a rebuild. And if there's teams out there who will pay him whatever the fuck he wants, plus have the cap space, plus have the defense, I reckon Devontae Adams with Jerry Jeudy and Aaron Rodgers and that defense is a pretty good combo. Not going to lie.
I just don't want him in the AFC. Fuck off.
Yeah, I know.
I've already got enough problems, Gaz.
The comment
fuck
from
off.
Rex, like, Ryan was if he goes to the Broncos, Aaron Rodgers will be the third best quarterback in that division.
That is correct. Oh, shit.
That's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. So, AFC winner for me. Come on, hit me up.
All right, let's go into some winners. Are the Bengals legit enough on the big day to get through this one more game to make the big dance? Yeah, no?
I kind of love this because I think Joey B's legit enough. I just don't know if, like, the Bengals as a whole are quite legit enough. Like, you saw the offensive line just ruin him this week. And, like, the Titans D, I think, you know, by all metrics, probably better than the KCD. But, not the KCD. The KCD who they're playing this week. It's like, I just think they don't quite match up quite well enough. This week. So they are legit, though. I think that's one of those things where you go into next year and you go, yeah, since you're kind of set now for, like, a little while, like, Baltimore was, like, beset by injuries this year. They've still got Lamar. You've got Cleveland, which is just a clusterfuck. You've got Pittsburgh. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen there? But, like, the Bengals are sort of like the brutes almost of the AFC North now, which is kind of cool. And, like, this is immeasurably important kind of experience, right? Like, you're in an AFC championship game and it's like Joey B's
second
fucking year.
And he's
going to
get comeback player of the year after that horrible ACL injury. It's his first year back from it.
So,
right?
I love it. Like, they're legit. He's legit. I just don't know if they're legit enough to pull off an upset. So,
Look, I think this year they've made us all look like fools in the sense that everyone's like, nah, you got to protect Burrow after that injury. You should have invested. Like, I can't believe you've gone after what you consider a once-in-a-generation talent in a fucking wide receiver. But that's proved us all wrong, right? Yeah. So now they've got Chase, T. Higgins, Mixon, and Burrow all on rookie contracts under 26, right? And now they can go out and invest. And particularly, there was no consensus. There's only two quarterbacks in the first round. They're calling in the first mock drafts. You know, some of the wide receivers, like Williams, went down. So if they were going for Diddy's ACL, so if you were going to go pick up someone like that in the first round, well, you've missed it. Whereas there's going to be other players, maybe invest in that O-line now, protect him, invest in that defense, and then come back, you know. But they're still ahead. You got to say that they're ahead of schedule.
Fuck yeah.
Because, you know, while they might have snuck in last year before Burrow's injury, because he was playing pretty fucking lights out, to make it this far on his comeback season with a rookie, his star player as a rookie, is fucking epic. And as we said, look, I picked fucking 3 out of 4 games wrong this week. Actually, no, I picked all 4 wrong.
Yes, you went 0-4.
One of them I picked wrong with you, so I lost by 3. But look, the one thing for me is I just thought that they would have played their Super Bowl last week as their first playoff game. They, you know, they got that win. That proved that they were ahead. That proved that they weren't in a joke in there by a fluke. But fuck, they got me. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they threw the gauntlet down. I loved it. NFC winners, the Niners. Can they be spoilers one more time? Oh. But the thing is, like, a part of the idea of them being spoilers is, like, can they limit Jimmy G's ability to try to give the game to the Rams? Like, can they run on the Rams? Like, what is it, the best rushing team versus the best run defense, basically? Or run, no.
Yeah.
Best run blocking team, I think, versus
yes,
the best run defense, which is fascinating. And, well, that's kind of it. Can this, like, weird, fucky, strange-ass Niners team just do it one more time to make it to another Super Bowl? Yeah, nah.
It's... Oh, I kind of... I'm a big fan of the Niners going as far as they can because Big Mitch Wish is our last Aussie and fucking love him. So that's a good sign. We love an underdog, right? And that defense and the fact that they almost turned this season around in line with going, nah, fuck it, Debo. We're going to have you do everything, right? You know? So that I love. I also, there's something that just feels weird to me about the assembly of these crazy all-star teams and giving everything away. Like, you know, obviously Tampa Bay did it last year, and you can do that when you've got Tom Brady and you go, everyone wants to play with us because you get a chance to play a season with the GOAT, right? But the ability for this season to, you know, go get Sony Michel, go get Matt Stafford, go get Von Miller, like
Odell,
or go get OBJ, right? And have all of these pieces kind of insert and then find yourself a game away. It's just kind of, I don't know, I think the Rams will do it because I think they've got a decent enough defense to just smother the shit out of Jimmy G. But I think they'll definitely keep that Rams offense better than what happened this week.
Nice one. And the last AFC winner and the last NFC winners.
What we spoke about last week around the Bengals playing their Super Bowl, do you reckon the Chiefs just did it? Have they just knocked off their one competitor and they've played, or have they played their hardest game and they're going to have nothing left?
I love this idea of like the Chiefs, like now with a letdown game against the Bengals. It's like, well, we're basically the Super Bowl. We just won it because we just beat the Bills. I do love that, but I think like, the Chiefs are just going to be too good anyway, right? Like, yeah. So I think it's almost like, did the Chiefs just win their Super Bowl or did they just actually, by beating the Bills, win the Super Bowl because they can roll everybody else? And I'd probably say nah, because I think if the Rams get through, the Chiefs-Rams would be almost instant sort of classic sort of vibes, right? And
could be fucking shootout.
It could be awesome.
It's going to, depending on who it gets to, is the complete tone of the game, right? It's going to be a grind out Niners and it's going to be a shootout Rams.
Yeah. So the flip side, NFC winners, can McVay actually do this and finally get past his own Shanahanigans? There you go. He's got his Shanahanigans out there. Yeah, nah, can he do it?
It's really weird. These coaches that have like kind of grown up together and just kind of know each other's games and can get it done. I think the Rams are going to take this one. I think they've got it. I think that connection between Stafford and Kupp, that defense is that Aaron Donald on the inside, and now having Von Miller on the outside, just calling, cause he's caused havoc in these playoff games.
Yeah,
he's been fucking chaos.
It's the PED cycle's just hit at the exact right time.
That's hitting his right point, right?
Anyway,
yeah, I mean he's got that experience, and that was what he's played in the playoffs is what they hoped they were getting from him when they got him over from Denver, right? So, look, I think they've assembled the right team. Pretty strong everywhere. As I said, look, there was just fuck. They should have run away with that game against the Bucks. It was the fumble from Karp, the fumble from fucking Akers and that epic fucking missed. Oh, the 47 missing that, not making the distance from 47.
So weird. So weird.
And that crazy 20-yard over the head fucking snap to Stafford.
Yep.
Right. If they clean all that sort of shit up, well, then it should be a well more controlled game against the Niners. I think it'll keep it close, but I think it'll, 17-14.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk about that in a second in the actual previews. The good bloke of the week, let's run through all these from this week real quick. Good bloke of the week, bloke I want to buy a beer, Joey Burrows. We've hit it. Second year, AFC Championship game. I'm going to buy your beers now because it's fucking gnarly, and he doesn't have to buy a beer in Cincinnati probably for the rest of his life, right, already. And he's laughing. Same with Evan McPherson, the rookie fucking kicker. Like, that's insane. Like, field goals are plenty in that game. The game winner gets him to the AFC title game. That's awesome. And obviously, my other one is Gabe Davis. 4 touchdowns, 203 yards. He was insane. Like, you hit it really well as well. Like, he was always just open. Like, it didn't matter. Like, he was just open. He's like, oh, hey, throw me the ball. I'm wide open, Josh. Josh,
like they
I'm
had
really
a
open.
Fear of Stephon Diggs, right? It's they like, had a fear of that. And he's like, all right, I'll do it.
So the Diggs thing was crazy. Like, Gabe Davis just, he got everything. Like, what did Diggs end up with, like, 7 yards? Like, it was
seven
insane.
Yards or something, yeah.
Absolutely insane. Yeah. And Gabe Davis ends up with 4 touchdowns and 201 yards. Sorry, I thought it was a bit more.
Yeah.
201, absolutely incredible. And one of those things where you go, oh, shit, if they've got, like, a legit number two dude behind Diggs. And, like, we've seen Isaiah McKenzie pop up. You've seen, like, Dawson Knox been awesome all year.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders hasn't done a giant amount. But, like, Cole Beasley with his anti-vax shit, who knows what the fuck he's going to do week to week. And Gabriel Davis is like, hey, Josh, I'm open. Hey, man, yep. I'm open. Hey,
didn't
throw
let
me
down.
The ball. I'm open again. Throw it to me. And boom, touchdown. So, love
like
that.
Gonna,
buy him some beers.
That's definitely that 4 TD record, considering it's never been done, it's going to stand for a long time. But even when it's beaten in a losing team, like
so cool.
Receiving 4 touchdowns in a losing team. Anyway, for me, it's, I just got to go blanket and say everyone involved in that Bills-Chiefs game because it was just fucking ridiculous, except for Patrick Mahomes' fiance, who doesn't deserve another bottle of champagne after she poured that one all over the fucking crowd. You just don't want to be under a Mahomes box, do you?
Ever.
Like, yeah, win or lose, you're getting drenched. The other one for me is I'm always going to have a soft spot for Big Red, right? Andy fucking Reid. First coach in history to take 2 teams to 4 straight championship games. And that was, obviously, stats that I've always got at hand, the Eagles and the Chiefs, right? 2 teams, 2 conferences, 4 years in a row. And then, obviously, there was the quote of just saying what you referred to early at the beginning of the episode that he said to Pat at the beginning of Patrick, sorry, Mrs. Mahomes, said to Patrick on the way out of that last drive, when things get grim, be the Grim Reaper. That was pretty rad.
It's so cold. It's so badass. When things get grim, be the Grim Reaper.
That's sick.
Like, that's t-shirt shit. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. So my Andy Reid, mate, like that's just, and he didn't inherit good teams. When he came into the Eagles in 99, people went, what the fuck are you doing, Jeff Laurie? This guy's a backup coach of the Browns or whoever was at the time. And he built that team around McNabb and all that sort of stuff. And Andy Reid came in and made unpopular decisions to go with Mahomes and ship off Alex Smith and stuff. And he's built that team and he's built that culture. And 4 in a row. Fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates, though, for this week. A couple of easy ones. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. copping it, kind of love it. I'm going to talk about him again in a second after in the unpopular opinion of the day. But, I mean, poor Aaron. Oh, our poor sweet baby. Suki suki la la Aaron Rodgers. The team's not good enough around me. Well, how about you score more than 10 points, Aaron? Butt cut, missing field goals, PATs. It was pretty gnarly early on. Like, this game is basically over if the Chiefs are actually just, like, getting... He was basically, what was it, Jay Feely was on the call for that game as well, and he's like, this guy is the second best field goal kicker. He's the second best kicker in the NFL. Miss. Then misses a PAT. It's like, oh, God. You just put the fucking kibosh on him hardcore. But that was some definite kind of like old mate, no mates vibe. Same goes for Matt Gay, as you mentioned, with the one that goes short. Dak Prescott, old mate, no mates this week, just catching strays. He's like, what did I do? It's like, my game was last week, motherfuckers. Why is everyone dunking on me again? It's because they went 44 yards in less time than a Dak QB draw. So, yeah, love that. And pitch invaders, Gaz. I didn't mention this in the actual game wraps, but we had two of them. And also, like, people are like, oh, we've got another streaker. Motherfucker, if you're wearing clothes, you're not a streaker. You're just a dumb cunt on the field, right? You're a pitch invader. So that's what happens with you when you're all clothed. The crazy thing is the one Rams-Bucks pitch invader didn't make the field, was tackled on the sidelines. You can only sort of see it off in the background. Gave a couple of nice jukes in there too. But in Bills Chiefs, gets on the field and then gets laid out by Stephon Diggs.
He was like at the line.
Is it the line? He's like there amongst them all. Stephon Diggs tackles him, like lays the motherfucker out, and then the security guard gets him as well. But that's not even the craziest thing that happens in like the last 2 minutes of that game. The fact that that actually isn't crazy is fucking gnarly. Yeah. That he tackled a dude like he's Andrew Simons against a fucking actual striker. I love it. And the other one is, Antonio Brown with the Bucks eliminated meme. Dude, I mean... How are those bridges behind you? Are they good?
Dude.
Burned to the waterline? Like, what are we talking about? Jesus Christ, Antonio.
Yeah, mine are... Mate, mine ended up very similar to yours. I've got one different, but I've added on some to yours. But for me, my number one is the Rams and SoFi Stadium. Restricting. Before they'd even won the game, they'd restricted tickets to the championship game. To greater Los Angeles zip codes. So you can't go online if you're from San Francisco and buy a ticket to the championship game. Because last time the Rams played San Fran, it was a fucking sea of red. And look, the Cowboys did it last week and it didn't work. Where they tweeted out that, let's all buy up the tickets because we don't want to see a red in Jerry World. And all the 49ers fans did was treat it as fucking inspiration to go and travel harder. And SoFi's a lot closer. So you've already had guys like Debo Samuel come out and say, oh yeah, we'll buy. Just let us know if you want tickets. We'll buy them for you with our addresses.
Matt Stafford's wife.
Like. Frank Gore did it. Yeah, Frank Gore did it. Like, repping the old Niners. So it's not going to work. The Niners are going to travel hard. It's got to be a lot more red than blue. And it's going to be epic. Anyway, Rodgers, he just can't keep his... Now he just needs to back off and shut the fuck up for a couple of minutes till he works out what he's going to do. Because now he's come out on his... favorite sounding board being Pat McAfee's show, and said that continue to make things about me. Like, there are a ton of people tuning in to root against me, and it's all for one reason. It's all because of my vaccination status. It's all because they somehow want to see me lose and say that my playoff lack of success is something to do with my vaccination status. Fuck off, mate. We're just sick of hearing from you. This year, you've gone from, somehow you can be a little bit frustrating. But from the off season, you've made this entire Packers season about you, right?
And it 100%. Fell short. And it fell short.
And
so
you fell short.
Guess what?
If you're going to do that.
Guess who gets the blame?
Back it up. You were happy to pat yourself on the back when, even though all this other shit had happened, you were still like, looking like the MVP and the number one seed. But when things haven't gone your way, You're straight on there to go, oh, everyone's just against me. Jesus.
It's any so much one. Fucking soaking. God damn.
Yeah, and the other one adding on to yours, mate, AB is going scorched fucking earth. Is the new interview with Bryant Gumbel. He's come out. He's now saying that the Bucks offered him $200,000, in his words, to go to the crazy house. And when pushed a little bit further on what that was, his lawyer said they wanted him to sit on the sidelines and admit that he was going through mental health courses, institutionalization, and they'd pay him an extra $200,000 to do it, but he was not allowed to come out and spin the narrative any other way. So they told him to go stick it, and the lawyer's now saying that they've got transcripts, so there was a conversation on the sidelines between the GM and Arians, and they've been sent the notes from the GM of the conversation, and it actually says that Arians says that he was told that that Antonio wasn't feeling his ankle. So, mate, he's definitely going scorched earth and threatening to sue them for defamation and all this sort of shit.
Jesus.
It's definitely not the end of here. But all it does is add to who the fuck picks him up.
Nobody.
Like, why would you?
You don't bother
why?
With that shit. The Raiders next year.
Anyway.
We're coming home, Grandma. Unpopular opinion of the day, Green Bay's cursed as well. Or Aaron Rodgers is overrated. Take your fucking choice here, Gaz, because you've hit on it. It's always someone else's fault. Oh, people just hate me because of my vaccination status. No, we hate you because you made this entire season about you, you fucking sook. And then you turn around and go, nah, it's their fault for like hating me because I'm vaccinated. No. You fucking were all about you this season. You held your entire team over a barrel. You made it all about you on draft night. Just from there, it's been the fucking Aaron Rodgers show. And then it all falls apart and then it's not your fault at all. And the best part is, like, the people reveling in this is because you've just made this about yourself and you're kind of a dick. And then you get, like, awesome stats like the Niners drafted Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. They've been to more Super Bowls since, and they've gone 4-0 against the Packers in the playoffs since that happened, guys. Just saying, kind of love it. Also, between Favre and Rodgers, they've had over, 30 years now of MVP-level Hall of Fame quarterback.
Hall of Fame quarterbacks, yeah.
And they've won how many titles?
Two.
Dos! They have won dos! Two of them in 30 years of having basically Hall of Fame, MVP, QBs, year in, year out, and they've won two. Just saying.
Yeah, look, the other big problem is that because of his aggressive nature in that world and throwing his toys out of the cot when they did draft Jordan Love, they haven't built for the future. You know, if he fucks off tomorrow
and takes
Devontae with him, like, what do you got?
Not much. Eesh. I mean,
if you're Aaron Jones, you want to come back and lose your prime with nothing around you? Because he's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's kind of the thing, right? Like, it's weird how it's fallen where it feels like a lot of Packers fans are kind of like, look, if he fucks off, to be honest, we're not that concerned. Like,
yeah, there's a bit of the relief and go, you know, deep breaths. You know, they felt that way about Mike McCarthy, right? For a long time, they were keen on Mike McCarthy, took him to a Super Bowl and all that sort of stuff. And then at the end, they're just like, we're sick of your shitty fucking clock management.
Yep.
And your average play calling, which would have gotten you nowhere near it without Aaron Rodgers, right? But, yeah.
It
fresh
is crazy.
Starts all around.
Like, it is just crazy, though, that there's, like, he's not been back to a Super Bowl since they won. Like, it's been 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking bonkers to me. And he can sort of blame, like, everybody left, right, and center. What, they've had, one top five defense, I think, and that was the year that they made the that Super Bowl, right? And it's just like, all right, so how good is Aaron Rodgers then? Like, we obviously know that he's good, but how good is good, you know?
Yeah.
Australian Spotty, a.k.a. the Australian Playwatch, a.k.a. the little Aussie Battler of the Week. It's still Mitch Wisch because he's the only one left, Gaz.
The only
he's
one
off
left, mate.
NFC title game, though, you love to see this. He was really good in that Green Bay game as well. So I was watching this with my dad. one of those very few moments where I actually get to watch an NFL game with my father because we're up in Ballarat, hanging out in B-Town, pretty gnarly, for the Arvo, just sitting there watching this game. And nothing could be like more of a fucking contrast. Ballarat in summer versus Green Bay in winter. It's like,
yeah,
we're sweating. It's hotter than fucking hell here. And it's snowing there. It was beautiful. It was awesome. I'm explaining a bunch of shit about the game to him. He knows a bit, but it's like, nah, but also this guy's Australian. He's like, oh shit, really? I'm like, yeah. So five.
Also, he's punting a rock right now.
He's just basically kicking a brick. Like, just grab a Selkirk and fucking throw it into your boot and see how that feels.
Exactly.
The thing is, he punted the shit out of him. He's averaging 47 yards, longest was 52, two back in the own 20. It was awesome. So,
yeah,
great job, Mitch Wish.
Go on, Mitch.
Carrying that Australian flag proudly and loudly. Love to see it. And then finally, before we get into the championship round preview and finish off this episode, it's our back take house. That's right, Gaz. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? I don't know, 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's lager because it's Australian for beer. I mean, we've scratched out the horse piss that was plastered over the beer bit, but, you know, it's all good. Either way, drink it up. Oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's lager that no Australian would be seen fucking dead with. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... The NFL's overtime rules are fucking great. I mean, you win with defense or you lose with defense. Only at Outback. So we took a while to get to the overtime conversation, Gaz, but we got here. And every year it happens, it seems so fucking obvious. Just change it. Just.
Yeah.
Let the other, like, it doesn't matter if it's now a touchdown. Yes, your defense should be able to get a stop if you want to win a game. We all get that. But it seems so stupid that if one team on offense can touch a ball and then the game's over in overtime.
Particularly in a shootout, right?
When in a game like that.
Best offenses in there.
Chaos.
The game, yeah.
It's like, yeah, the defense is a fucking gash. They've gassed. It's all over. And you can run yours out there. Oh, well, your defense should be good enough. The defense hasn't been good enough, clearly, for the rest of the game to get a stop to stop it from going to overtime. Like, this is how it goes. Like, if the defense can't stop it from going to overtime, then how would they just... Why are you expecting them to stop them in overtime? It makes no fucking sense. Give both teams one chance, at least. If they match it, whatever. Away we go. It's simple. It's dumb. The fact that KC benefits this time is hilarious.
Yeah.
And it does feel like that'll be one of those turning points as well, right? Like, it's KC are on the receiving end one time and then the beneficiaries the next time. Everybody will look at this and go, actually, yeah, it does seem a bit stupid, doesn't it? Maybe we should change it. Oh, jeez.
You've got to think, like, so some, I guess, newer school NFL fans won't remember pre-2010, I believe it was. It was 2010 when they changed it to this model of the rules. Before that, it was just direct sudden death.
Yep.
And it literally was whoever got one, the kick won it, you know, 75 to 80% of the time. Because all they needed to get was the, you know,
the
40 yards
right.
into field goal range, right? That's all you needed to do. So they've changed it to something fairer. But the thing is, it's not a rule that doesn't exist. It's what is done in college. So
yep.
It's what these guys have come from. Get it. But, yeah, I mean, look, when they pull out all the stats, of course, this conversation happens every time there's a fucking epic game and yada yada. But I think the stats were, of all-time games, since these rules have come in, it's something like two-thirds whoever wins the toss.
Coin toss wins,
coin toss,
yeah.
Right? Versus a third, which doesn't seem a lot, but... When they filter out the seasonal games and it's only the playoffs, it's something like 10-1.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also the thing. I think you can just change the overtime rules and make it both teams get the ball in just the fucking playoffs then. Like, who gives a shit about regular season games? That's fine. Like, we want a regular season game to finish, like, probably quicker, like sooner rather
within
than
a
later.
Reasonable time. Yeah,
exactly. Right. So it's like, ah, oh, cool. You made it to overtime. Look, it's week 7. No one gives that much of a shit that like the Jags versus the Texans. The Jags got a fucking touchdown on the first drive, right? But in like the second week of the playoffs, we want to see the cream of the literally the cream of the crop, like play. We want to see them play on a fair playing field. So there you go. All right, let's do some division. Well, the divisional round's done. Let's do the conference championship round preview. Brought to you by the dailyliquor.com. Look, if you're after some beers, wines, or cocktails, don't go get that Omicron Percy I-8 from the Bottle-O. Bring the Bottle-O to you, especially if you're in Melbourne, or aka only if you're in Melbourne. At the dailyliquor.com, bang in the code STRAYA, get a free six-pack of the Dos Blocos XPA, and your mates Gaz and Jimmy, boom, off you go. They'll drop it off to your door, Rona free. And so in the Melbourne metro area, you get same-day delivery for order before noon, so go check out the dailyliquor.com right now. Get some free beers on your mates, Gaz and Jimmy. Right. Championship round after amazing divisional round comeback. But your mate Jimmy over here as Gaz goes 0-4 on his picks last week.
0-4.
And Jimmy goes 3-4. Therefore, picking up 3 picks, leaving him only 1 behind Gaz after a disastrous week 1 for Jim Bob. But I like this. I really enjoyed my picks this week. So I nailed Niners, Rams, KC, and we both missed out on Tennessee. So...
home teams can eat my shorts. I mean,
it was a
right?
It was a chaos week. What do you expect?
Yeah.
So preview though. Cincy at KC, 7 a.m. on Monday. One big thing: are Cincy just happy to be here now and get smoked, or can Joey B do what Josh Allen did last week and push him and make KC work for it? We've both gone KC -7. I think we both kind of feel like KC are now hitting their groove. They've hit a groove. They've been in a groove for a little while. And they could probably take it. Like, even though Cincy beat them, what, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, they...
slightly less on the line.
Yeah. I think this is it's a game, as you mentioned, what is it, 4 straight for KC now? Like, they've been here before.
Yep.
I think
yep.
this is the moment where the Bengals go, we're good, but we're not that good. And KC just sort of take care of business. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So -7 seems pretty good. I think with Mahomes feeling everything, looking good, looking great, the defense sort of just doing enough. The Bengals are good. They're fun. They're a bit wonky. They're a bit weird. But I just don't know if they've got enough. So, yeah, there we go. -7 for both of us. And then the good one, the fun one. Niners, Rams. 10:30 a.m. I'll tell you what, guys. I love the 10:30 a.m. start as well. We're not going late into the afternoon. It's just right. Either way, the one big thing here, of course, it's the coaching matchup. McVay versus Shanahan again. It's the Shanahanigans. 2-0 so far this season for Shanahan. 6 straight times. Kyle Shanahan has beaten McVay. 6 straight. The one big thing is, does that hold?
Whew.
You've gone the Rams -3.5. I've gone the Niners +3.5. I think the Rams win, the Niners cover. I think it's a KC Rams Super Bowl. But I think the Niners put up a massive fight, get so close, but it's probably maybe even a Jimmy G interception where the Niners are in front and the Rams take back to the house and win on that. And, get over hump that way, and that makes the Niners' choice to move on from Jimmy G all that easier, you know what I'm saying? And I think, yeah, but the Rams win, but the Niners cover the +3.5. So give me all your reasoning for the Rams. I mean, it's pretty easy. I think they're a better team.
Yeah. Sort of. Look, I think they're a more complete team. I think
complete is a good word, yeah.
Yeah, we saw this week, look, obviously the special teams was the difference maker easily in that 49ers, but both defensive lines played well. I think there's more in the secondary as well as that defensive line on the Rams to just smother Jimmy G, sell out on Debo and Mitchell and just make him beat you in the air. But I think there's more weapons on offense that can put up points with the fucking Rams. I'd like to say that because we would have thought that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did think that. both previous matchups. So on paper, it just, it's logical sense that it should be the Rams game at home. But these quarterback matchups, when they just fucking know each other, it's not that easy, right? So look, I'm still sticking with the Rams. The interesting thing for this week is if, because we've only got one pick different, we're either going to go into Super Bowl, even in the playoffs, or with me two ahead. Yep. So, yeah, it's going to be, it's fucking coming down to spicy, Jimmy.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I'm excited. Like, the Rams are a really fun, weird team who can do a lot of different things on both sides of the ball. So are the the Niners are as well, but just without, like, the sheer fucking weird craziness that Stafford provides the Rams, where Jimmy G will do something that's crazy, but it'll usually be an interception or something just fucked. That it's like, is he throwing the game? Is this guy throwing the game? Like, that kind of vibe. So, yeah. I trust the Rams to win it. I don't trust them to win it big.
Yep.
As we saw this week. So, I'll take the Niners, the +3.5, just because I think they'll make a game of it. But it's going to be fun. And either way, that's it. That's it for the divisional round. One of the most fun rounds you'll ever see of NFL. And that's the wrap by NFL Australia. So we'll be back up to wrap up the championship games next week. It's going to be great fun. Cannot fucking wait. And we are weekly. We're always weekly until, you know, the end of the season. And then even into the off season. But that's how we go. But in the meantime, chuck us a follow on the old face, the Twitter, the IG. Chuck us a rating and review on your podcast app. Go on. We don't ask for too much. The podcast app. Rate and review it. Go on, do it right now. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check out their album on Spotify. Check out thedailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAYA, get a free sixer. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code STRAYA, get 20% off from free worldwide shipping. Just make sure your pubes are all good for this Valentine's Day. Get around NBA STRAYA. Daily shows at the moment, absolutely crushing it. It's a real fucking fun time as well. NBA trade deadline coming up. So yeah, I'm not busy at all, Gaz. NBA trade deadline, daily NBA shows, NFL playoffs. I'll tell you what, it's pretty fun. Gaz, what plugs have you got though?
Well, fuck, in case you missed the NFL Australia post this week, the Super Bowl at the Catfish is happening again. Obviously, during the spicy cough, we've limited tickets, or they've limited tickets, to 100 across the venue, so everyone feels safe and sound. But they're going to sell a bunch of tickets that last year went within 2 days, and they're already on sale. So jump on the Catfish website to grab your tickets. They're only $5, just so that the real NFL fans get in. But we will be also giving away some tickets in the next couple of weeks. So we haven't worked out how we're going to do it, what we're going to do, because Jimmy and I have been away, and Jimmy and I haven't spoken. But we're also probably going to do a bit of a live show. A live stream from the caddy. It won't be at halftime. I can tell you why. Because this is one halftime show with fucking Snoop and Eminem and Dre and Mary J. Then for Kendrick that I want to fucking watch. That's the only time I get to have a piss and a cheesesteak, Jimmy. So I don't know what I'm going to do at halftime.
This is true.
Stick, you know, follow Catfish. Jump on Catfish and buy tickets. Follow us. We will come back with how to win tickets from us, you know, might as well save yourself $5. And that's about it, I think. Oh, also, Pat Strayer and Eagle Strayer. Make sure you jump on that. I've been making my wife jokes on the Eagles Strayer one about Eagles related my wife jokes. She doesn't appreciate it. She read a few of them. I maybe a singles Eagles supporter if I keep this up. But anyway, I'm having a great time. So that's all I've got to talk about.
Divorced Eagles Strayer. That's what it's all about. It's going to be amazing. I love it. Yeah, Pat Strayer was like the one. I did the one little show. We've got the page and everything, but that'll be fired up for next year probably. And Eagle Strayer is crushing it. So go check those out. Give them a like. And that's it. I can't wait. Like, the Super Bowl at the Catfish is always a great time. So go get a ticket. Come hang out with us. Well, we might, in terms of doing a live show, we might be doing a live stream basically of just basically us hanging out, doing shit. So, should be fun, should be gnarly. Can't wait for that. Either way, tell you what, guys, this was a wicked fun fucking week, I tell you what. That was so much fun.
Tired, Jimmy.
It was great just talking about it again, too. So, either way, championship round next week, and we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See ya.
Later, Hosen.
being broken.